So you try something new and you work at it a little bit and you get some experience and you gain some knowledge about it and you get better and better at it. And then as it starts to grow and develop, lo and behold, you have room in your life to try something else. And that something else might replace it or it might, you know, just add to it. But the thing is it's something different. It's something new. And that can be exciting. That's what part of, you know, for me, that's what makes part of what makes Christianity such an exciting part of life, because I get to try so many things. I get to do, it's like an adventure, right? You're on this journey, but you're not just on this journey kind of ho-hum walking around. You have exciting things happening in your life because you're doing something new. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. All right, I want to address the idea of how to keep from losing our blessings from God. And in order to do that, I want to start off with the, asking the question, is it even possible? Can we lose the blessings that we have from God? There are passages like Romans chapter 8 that says, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And of course, those are questions that are, the answer is absolutely no. Those things can't separate us from God. And so some people have taken that in John chapter 10 and a few other passages and says, we can't possibly lose our inheritance from God. We can't possibly lose our blessings. We can't possibly lose our salvation. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So there, it's talking about gaining, possessing your own soul, and then losing it in the end. And the reason we lose it is because we had it. We had everything going for us. We had our relationship with God, but then we lose that. And they may say, well, you know, they have an answer for that. And that would be like, okay, that's just saying that you don't want to trade the things of this earth for your soul, because you need to make sure you put God first and be saved. And then once you're saved, you can go chase all the other things because you can't lose your soul. It's really not what he's saying. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world," that's someone who has escaped the sin of this world, "through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," so they come to know Jesus, and that knowledge is an intimate knowledge that helped them to escape the pollutions of the world. It says, "If after they have escaped, they are again entangled in them," in those pollutions of the world, "and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." So he says, look, they knew the way of righteousness. It's better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. That means the dog walked away from the vomit and came back to it. We walk away from sin and we go right back to it. And a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. It tells you that you can escape the pollutions of this world and go right back into it. Now, I don't know how anyone thinks that they can be saved if they are living in the world and living it up. And I saw a video the other day. It was a video of a man who was going to jump over the side of a cliff. And as he jumped, he caught his foot on a rope that was there to keep him from going over. I think there's water on the other side. He wasn't going to actually kill himself, but he was jumping over and his foot got caught in the rope and it threw him down on the ground. And so he hit his face. He face planted and didn't actually go over the side at all. And the title for it said, "This is what happens to me every time I try to sin. The Holy Spirit is the rope. And he always keeps me from sinning." You know, if you want to sin, you're going to be able to sin. The Holy Spirit is not going to keep you from doing it. And if you want to walk away from God, his hand is open. You have free will. You have the right to walk away if you want to. And so that's not really a good place to be, to think that you're going to do anything you want to and God will just keep you from ever from sinning. So it is possible for us to lose what we have. And we can see a pattern. We can choose to walk away from God. And there have been plenty of people in my life that I've seen who did walk away from God. And the argument usually comes back, well, those people weren't ever Christians to begin with. How judgmental. Yes, they were. I've known people who were very strong in the faith, who walked away from God, and they were all in love. They had devoted themselves. They had believed. They had done all kinds of things, and yet you're saying they weren't sincere? I can't imagine people who are being... You can tell someone's sincere, and they were sincere for years, and they walked away. The fact is we can lose what we have, and it's not necessarily something that's going to happen overnight. It's not going to be because we can blame it on anything else. I mean, Paul was right. You know, nakedness and peril and sword and distress and persecution and famine, tribulation, those things can't force you away from God's hand, but they can make you bitter so that you walk away from God. They can make it to where you're wanting something else more attractive, and so you find a way to find something else and replace God in your life. It's pretty obvious you can do that. So how do you keep from losing that? And I've run into people who thought, you know, I'll never fall away, and they act like they never would fall away. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. That's confidence. But we also need to recognize that, hey, you know what? It is possible. It is possible that you put yourself in a situation and that, you know, you do the wrong thing and just completely ruin your life and never look back. Keep chasing down that road. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we've got to admit that we have weaknesses and we need to be careful, need to safeguard ourselves, don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be tempted to do something wrong, because you are not Jesus. You are not Superman. You're not someone who can just resist every temptation, and as long as you love God, everything is going to be fine. Now, loving God is how you make things fine, but we need to make sure that we understand the future is not set in stone. And we can get to the point in our lives where we walk away from God. So how do you keep from doing that? What is it that you can do today to make sure that you don't do that in the future? And that's a very good question. Those of us who are sincere, who are wanting to make sure we do everything that we can for the future to help protect ourselves, we recognize that God is there and that He will help us. And that's part of what we're talking about with how we're going to fix this. So we're not taking God out of the equation by any means, but there are things that we can do in order to ensure that we have a stronger future than we have right now, that we can be even closer to God. And that's what it's all about, that this growth, this coming to, you know, more and more in unity with God and more in His fellowship. That's the way we secure ourselves. That's the way we can have confidence in the future. So what are the things that we need to do in order to get to that point? That's a very good question. And I have three ideas here that will help you ensure your future, right? The first one is to develop a habit that nurtures our love for God. If you have God first in your life, if He truly is the one you love with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to be okay. But if you don't nurture that love, it's going to fade. It's going to go away. And so how do you do that? What do you do to nurture that love? That means you need to have habits. These habits are things that we do daily. We make sure that we do as often as possible, and we stay on top of it so that we don't let them become, you know, used to be habits, but they are current habits and future habits. So the first one would be prayer. Make sure you're finding time to pray. Make sure that it is something that is at a, if you can't do it at a set time every day, which highly recommend, you definitely need to make sure that you have it somewhere in that day, because that prayer is going to help draw you closer to God. The second one is reading the Bible or studying the Bible or both. You know, reading is a type of study, but not all study is reading, but all study includes reading, right? So you can read through and you can kind of skim and you say, I've checked my box off for my daily Bible reading, but really not get anything out of it. But if we're reading or studying, we have the intention of hearing what God says to understand what He wants me to do with my life. You know, someone said that it's actually a Russian proverb that I learned that said, a man who speaks to God is religious, but when God speaks to a man, he's schizophrenic. Now, that hasn't always been the case. There have been people that God has spoken to in history. I know that for a fact. We can read it in the Bible and we can see that. But we should not be waiting around for and listening, try to see signs or trying to hear the clouds open or see the clouds open and hear God's voice speak to us. He gives us a to-do list for the day. That's not what we should be about. We look at the Bible. We look at what God has already said and say, hey, I want to know what you want me to do. Here, let me open your word and tell me, I'm going to let you tell me what I'm going to do with my life. So Bible reading is so important. When people ask, you know, what should I do? If you haven't opened the Bible to find out what God wants you to do, then why are you asking me? Look at what God said for you to do. So there are two habits that should be developed in order to nurture your love for God. A third habit for that, nurturing that love, is meditation. Meditation, I'm not talking about the Hindu idea of meditation or the Eastern religion idea of meditation, where the idea is to completely empty your mind, have no thoughts whatsoever. What a waste of time. But if you meditate, you're thinking about one thing. You're concentrating on one thing, and that is what God says. You're thinking about what God says in application to your life. So meditation is really a time of concentration, a time of thinking through and allowing your brain to put together the dots, connect the dots so that you can see how a verse or an idea applies to your life. That's meditation. And the fourth habit of nurturing your love for God is spiritual growth. So how do you develop spiritual growth? It's a very big one. The more you grow spiritually, the more your love for God will grow. Your love for God, for others, will grow as well. But that's what spiritual growth is all about, nurturing that love for God. So there are actually habits that you can use, and this is the second point. First one is habits that nurture our love for God. The second one is habits that support spiritual growth. So what is it that supports spiritual growth? The first one I would say would be a habit of setting goals. Now, goals are very difficult to set in the spiritual realm. I realize that. I mean, how do you say, I'm going to increase my patience without just saying, I'm going to increase my patience? It's difficult to put like a value to that. How do you know if you've actually increased your patience? It's a great question. I mean, I can pretend just focusing on it might mean that it seems like it's grown, but that doesn't mean it actually has grown. It's kind of like when you get a new car and you notice that there's all of a sudden you notice everyone else is driving the same kind of car that you have. Well, it's not that more people bought a car, but the same car they saw you driving, you're like, oh, I'm going to go buy me that car. That's not how it works. You just noticed it more, so it looked like there was an increase. Same thing with medics in the medical field. You know, we have all this growth of these different diseases and stuff. And the question are those actual growth numbers, or is it just that we haven't been tracking it very long and we haven't realized that it's always been around? That's a good question. Same thing in the spiritual realm. How do you know if you've actually increased your patience if you haven't ever focused on it before? That's a tough question to answer. The easiest thing that I can do is to break down the qualities of whatever it is I'm trying to build and try to work on those individually. So, for example, if I'm trying to increase peace in my life, one of the things I'm going to have to learn is people skills. I need to learn how to deal with people and increase skills. Now, that's a good thing. If you can break it down into smaller parts and those parts can actually be skills, then you can measure how much peace you should have in your life. At least it gives you a kind of a foundation for measurement. And so you can measure whether or not you are, how good you are with people by learning the skills and applying the skills. And when you learn something new and apply it, you're probably going to increase that ability. So that's the first thing I would say for setting habits that are of spiritual growth. Make a habit of setting goals. Then make a habit of planning your growth. I've learned that growth comes in spurts, but it doesn't come in spurts unless you're putting in the work before that. So, for example, with me, I may be working on something for a long time, and then it just feels like I'm really not getting anywhere. And I start to wonder, okay, am I just plateaued? Is this the best that I'm going to ever be just because of my personality? And all of a sudden, poof, something happens and I'm at a new level and I didn't realize it. It seems like it's overnight, but it just took a long time to get to the point where you finally things clicked and you stepped into a new era in your life. That's how growth works. It's not really gradual. It's in spurts, but those spurts only come as you gradually build those things up in your life. So create a habit of planning. How do you plan to have more patience in your life? How do you plan to have more joy? Set down a plan and get to work on it. Another habit to develop to support spiritual growth would be to create the habit of being action-oriented. In other words, you know, the easiest thing to do is to, I call it, it's a new term that I saw and I love it. It's procrastilearning. I'm procrastinating by learning. And I'm really good at that. It's just, hey, I need to do something. Let me learn. I need to go spend 40 hours learning how to do this one little thing when all I could have done is just do it and probably learned even better and even faster. Maybe even, I might have even done it right the first time. But if I didn't, I can learn a lot more than I can read in a book. I'm not against book learning. You look at and open up the Bible when you read there. But if you're reading the Bible and studying it and you're not actually putting it into practice, you don't know if you understand it or not. It's when you put it into practice, that's when you realize whether or not you understand it. And that's when you actually do start to understand it and you do start to grow. So that's a part of supporting spiritual growth is planning your growth and being action-oriented. Also, plan to or have a habit of fellowshipping with other like-minded growers. It's not enough. Now, please hear me. It's not enough to go to church because there are people that go to church that aren't interested in growing. You need to go to church, but you also need to fellowship and spend time with those people who are actually wanting to learn and grow themselves. That when you do, you start picking up their mentalities, you start picking up their thoughts, their ideas, their encouragements, and you are also adding to them and their conversation. They love having you around because you're about growth as well. And if you have a habit of fellowshipping with them, I'm not saying spend all of your time with them, but spend time with them so that you can grow and be encouraged and do the things that support spiritual growth. And then the another thing that relates is a habit of supporting spiritual growth. This habit is to try new things. Don't try sinful things, but try new things. Try something you haven't done before. You don't have to try something new every single day. That would be really hard because it's going to be kind of hard on you in the sense that, well, you're going to run out of ideas, but also you're going to try something new and you're not going to be able to do it very well. I mean, who can do something right the first time? Who can do it well the first time? So you try something new and you work at it a little bit and you get some experience and you gain some knowledge about it and you get better and better at it. And then as it starts to grow and develop, lo and behold, you have room in your life to try something else. And that something else might replace it or it might, you know, just add to it. But the thing is it's something different. It's something new. And that can be exciting. That's what part of, you know, for me, that's what makes part of what makes Christianity such an exciting part of life. Because I get to try so many things. I get to do, it's like an adventure, right? You're on this journey, but you're not just on this journey kind of ho-hum walking around. You have exciting things happening in your life because you're doing something new. And it can be very exciting that way. And also, when you're trying something new, you have to be able to look at it, give it an honest effort, and look at it and go, you know what? I tried, and that's not for me. I'm going to put that aside. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because in trying something new, you find out what is good, what your strengths are, and what your weaknesses are. And when you find your weaknesses, you don't have to work on them all the time. Sometimes it's just best to set those things aside for another time. And maybe that can be something you can improve. So that is what we're trying to do with supporting spiritual growth. So we have, these are habits that we need to develop. There's three basic habits to keep us from losing the blessings of God. The first one is to nurture our love for God. Those are habits that we do that. We also need to develop habits that support spiritual growth. And the third one is we need to develop habits that nurture our active participation in the development of others. This is a big one. This is where we get, you know, we look at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And one of the biggest mistakes that we make is to think that those nine attributes are about you or about me. So when I'm looking at the biggest mistake I can make when I'm looking at the fruit of the Spirit is to think that I'm supposed to have more joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in my own life. Now, obviously, that is part of the process. That is part of who we are. But if you start actively putting these things together, you learn pretty quickly that you can't really do them as well if you're not helping other people reach those things. It's kind of brilliant the way it all fits together. It encourages you to be more invested in the lives of other people. You cannot really grow in peace if you're not investing in helping other people find peace in their life. It just doesn't work. You really can't grow in love if you're not helping someone else grow in their relationship with God and in some way. Now, that doesn't mean that you've got to go out and, you know, go into the ministry or go into preaching or teaching, or that doesn't, I don't mean that, but you can be involved in the lives of other people, and your involvement in their life is going to help you to nurture yourself as well. So here are some things to do to develop that habit of developing other people. The first one is to ask about other people. Ask them how they are. Get into their lives. Don't be afraid of intruding. You know, there are people that I feel like I'm intruding in their life often, and there's just nothing I can do about it. That's going to continue to happen because I care about them. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go and, you know, you don't want to be a stalker. You don't want to just intrude and be rude, that kind of thing. No, no, no. But just because they may not reciprocate or they may not act like they appreciate you being there doesn't mean that they don't need you, and it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be there. Because this is not about you. This is about you growing into your role and your relationship. And so asking people about themselves is a very good habit to nurture. And getting into the lives of other people is also something very good to do. So you have this habit of getting into their lives. And like I said, not being nosy, you don't want to do that. But at the same time, how can you call yourself a friend if you don't actually, you know, get into their lives and find out more about them and help them grow and learn and, you know, be a friend? Whenever I was growing up, I had a good friend all throughout junior high and high school. His name was Danny. And we're still in touch here and there. Isn't that funny how that works? But he just intruded. And he would not let us not be friends. And I learned something from that. And I appreciated it so much because I needed that. And I didn't even know I needed it. I needed a friend. And he pushed himself into my life. Be that kind of person for someone else. Actually, then part of that developing that participation and developing other people, you need to learn to anticipate and feel needs. Not everyone is going to tell you what they need, but it might be obvious if you just take a second and think, what is it I can do for this person? What does this person likely need? And offer it, or just do it. One of the things that we say most often with great intention that doesn't really help is, let me know if I can help. Because first of all, if they needed your help, they probably would have already asked. Or if they recognized that you actually could help them, they might have already asked. But then again, a lot of people are so private, they want to take care of it themselves and they don't want anyone else to come in. But it might be that you need to get into their lives. They might need you and not realize it or not want to admit it. And so anticipate a need. And instead of saying, how can I help, sit down for a minute and think, what if I was in that position, what might I need? And then go do that. Go help them. You know, be careful in what you do. You don't want to overstep, but take them a meal now and then, or show up with flowers or a balloon, or show up in some way in their lives and let them know that you care, because you can't really help in the development of other people until you actually earn that right. And if you will earn the right to be in someone's life by being there, then they will listen to you better and you might have the ability to influence them in some way. And then you also need to consider in developing other people, the idea of mentoring or of coaching other people. And you want to be careful. No one likes to feel like a project, but now and then you'll have this opportunity where someone will come and say, you know, I need some help with this. I would like for your input or your advice. And that comes as you prove yourself. And when that happens, then be available and offer them the help. And you can even offer it to them without them coming because it might be something that they need. And like I said, no one likes to feel like a project. Certainly, you don't want to present yourself as if you're the cure for everything that they've ever had go wrong. You know, you're the knight in shining armor that's going to come in and save the day. That's not really how you should present yourself. But it should be that you are offering of yourself to help other people. And if they trust you and if they're wanting that, then they will open up to you also and allow you to help. And it's a great place to be when you finally get into and able to help someone, even if it's small things. Helping other people to grow and develop is one of the most beneficial and growing things that you can do for yourself. So you're helping other people and you're developing yourself at the same time. So those are the three habits that I would definitely recommend you think about in order to make sure that you stay with the faith in the future. You develop that habit of nurturing your love for God. You develop that habit of spiritual growth. You develop that habit of being actively participating in the development of other people. And if you will stay on top of those three things, it's going to be a lot easier for you to stay focused and faithful. If you have to just pick one of them, pick the first one. Nurture your love for God more than anything else. At the end, you know, everyone is kind of on their own. You're standing on your own before God. You can only do so much for people. And they have to make their own decisions about what they're going to do. Your own spiritual growth is, you know, as much as it should be something you're pursuing, you do have limitations in the way you think. There are no limits to how much spiritual growth you can have, but there are limits to the way you believe. There are limits to what you think you allow yourself to do. And those can, you know, we can push those boundaries to a certain degree, but your number one effort is going to be your relationship with God, to develop, to nurture that love for Him. And you're going to do that by appreciating what you have. You appreciate that by prayer, by Bible study, by meditation, and by growth. Well, I hope this has been a help to you. I would love to help. If you have any questions or comments, want to discuss something, please let me know. You can email me, jason@sparksmore.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you. Or we can even set up a call and chat because my life is dedicated to helping other people grow as Christians and to help the church grow. So if I can help you with that in any way, please let me know. And I'll see you next time.